Well, as always, I ask for your prayers this morning, Lord, to bless these moments together. I have a little burden on my heart that I feel is a significant burden. It's the burden of instruction this morning. And I ask you to stay with me. I have a burden about modesty. Modesty. Don't sigh. A lot of time when you think of modesty, people start thinking about, oh no, preacher's going to start talking about how long my dresses and skirts need to be, and how long my sleeves need to be, and how long this needs to be, and how I need to do this, and how I need to do that. Well, if that's your mindset about it, I'm sorry. Lord, help us to listen to the Word. Pay attention to the principles that are in the Scriptures. These are the things that will guide us in life and will teach us how we are to conduct ourselves. Some things the Word is very, very clear on. Some things it's slightly ambiguous. I don't find anywhere in the Scripture that tells me how long my sleeve has to be. It doesn't tell me that I need to have it to my wrist. It doesn't tell me how long or how short. It doesn't tell me how long a woman's hair is to be. It says that she's to have long hair. It says that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. How long is long? You tell me. How short is short? You tell me. How short is a dress that's too short? How long is long enough? You tell me. The Word of God gives us principles to live by. If we choose to get all twisted and tied up about things, it doesn't tell me how long it needs to be, so it doesn't matter how long it is. I say it's different than that. The Word of God teaches us a place of purity and holiness in our heart. And it teaches us a desire to do those things that are pleasing to our Lord. It teaches us to find a relationship with Him where I want to please Him in my life. And if there are things about my life that don't please Him and He comes by and rebukes me, chastises me, or corrects me about it, then He wants me to do something about it. He wants me to have a relationship with Him. He wants that relationship that He has with us to be conducive to a close, intimate walk with our Lord. All right? So, this term, modest, we find it in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. It's where some of the text will be today. We'll read here. But before we get really involved with this scripture, this term, modest, is taken from the word kosmos. And that word is the Greek word that means well-ordered and arranged. Cosmos, many times in our world, in our society, the universe is referred to as the cosmos. And if we will take some time to consider everything about the cosmos, the world, the universe that God has created, we'll find in it examples of absolute orderly arrangement. When you consider the rotation of the planets around the sun, the gravitational pull of the moon going around this earth, the activities of the tides, which things are necessary, all of those things that God has established from His Word, He spoke and it happened. All of those things are things that God has established. They are well ordered and arranged. Now, it might be argued from some of us that we had way more rain than what we needed over this winter and early spring. I will agree with you, it was very wet. It was difficult to accomplish anything outside. You had to be very careful where you stepped, where you walked, where you drove. You had to be very careful and cautious about that. It was almost impossible to do anything outside dealing with digging, planting, because you dig a hole, at least it was the case on my place unless you lived on a pretty good hill, you dig a hole, you get down 6 inches, you're going to have water. Got to have water. Now, that's where I live. Your place might be a little different. But it was wet. It was nasty. But you know, just the other day I went out to outside and I thought, you know, those flowers in that pot look like they're drooping a little bit. It was dry. I had to get the water hose out and water the plants in the pot. Now, I hadn't had to do much of that lately because of all the rain we've had. God's plan, the way that God has ordained and established things in His world, are perfect. They're right. And this term modest refers to that ordered arrangement, that well-ordered and established arrangement that God has set in place. Folks, you think about this. I'd like for us to not just get bogged down with it, but think about the rotation of the earth around the sun, the daily rotations, the revolutions and the daily rotations, night and day, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter. All of those things are there because God said so. And it has set up a place, the earth, a place that humans can inhabit. It will support life. It is a well-ordered arrangement. Cosmos means well-ordered. It is a well-ordered arrangement. The Lord wants us to have our lives well-ordered. May the Lord help us to do it. Now, I'd like to turn in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, is where we'll begin. Deuteronomy, chapter 2, verse 5. This is one of the scriptures that is an absolute. We can try to twist it. We can try to turn it upside down. We can try to make it say something that it doesn't say. But this is a scripture that was given by God from His mouth. This is what He says that we ought to do. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. That's not hard to understand, is it? That speaks very clearly. Man wears those things that belong to a man. A woman wears those things that belongs to a woman. A man conducts himself in a way that is befitting to a man. A woman conducts herself in a way that is befitting to a woman. In society, and children, you're coming up in a world, in a society that is blurring those lines. We have messed that situation up, folks. Amen. Human beings have decided, I want to do it this way. And when we decided, I want to do it this way, then I get outside of the cosmos arrangement that God has. I get outside of the orderly arrangement that God has for society and for humanity. But He doesn't stop there. For all that do so are what? Abomination to the Lord. All that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. That's just about as clear, folks, as I know how to make it. It's the Word of God. It's not my opinion. It's not my interpretation of some words. This is a Scripture. I don't find anywhere in the New Testament where this Scripture is countermanded by the Lord Jesus or the Apostles. I don't find anywhere in the New Testament that changes it and says, in this exception, it's okay. I don't find that. I find that there are some absolutes. And when we stay with the absolutes, we're safe. When we start pilfering with those things because of my want to, is where I get into trouble. All right, now let's go back to 1 Timothy. I wanted to set the stage there in Deuteronomy. Let us know that there are some absolutes in the Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Before you ladies say, here he goes again, it's all the women. Stay with me. Just stay with me here. There are some principles that you and I need to have incorporated in our lives so that we can promote the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This specifically is speaking to the women. But the same principle applies to men, all right? So let's look at this word. You've heard us talk about it before. This word, modest apparel, cosmio, well-ordered, well-arranged. Apparel is from the Greek katastole. Two words. And it means a well-ordered, well-arranged, send-down garment. Which tells me that the Apostle Paul was getting a message across to the people. I want you to wear something that is befitting, something that is acceptable, and I want it to be covering. I want it to be a well-ordered, send-down garment. And I don't read anything in here that he says, it's okay for men, for you to wear things that are soft and effeminate. Women, it's okay for you to wear those things that look masculine. So if you want to look like a man, then go right ahead and look. I don't read that. It talks about the things that men and women are to do. In our society, we have taken those absolutes and we have turned those things upside down. That's what we have done. Human beings have done that. I heard someone just recently talking about mockingbirds singing at night. Why do they sing at night? They sing at night to, one, establish their territory, and to call out to mates. They do that, and sometimes they'll sing all night long. Have you heard them? Get up on the top of a tree, and all night long. They especially love bright moonlit nights. And they'll go for it then. They'll sing all night long. It's not just because I'm bored and I don't have anything else to do. It's because it's a well-ordered arrangement that God has put in them. This is what they do. It's what they are expected to do. We can anticipate that. Every year, I'm going to be honest with you, I enjoy it. I enjoy stepping outside or even being in the house sometimes. I can hear them just going after it, singing their songs, which is copying everybody else's songs. But that's what he's supposed to do. A beaver is supposed to gnaw on trees, chew in the bark, cutting trees down, hauling them into the creek, into the river, building a dam so he can have a place that's holding water so he can drag other tree limbs in there and build a lodge for his house, his home, for his family. That's what he's supposed to do. Are they a nuisance to some people? Yes. But that's what he is supposed to do. What is mankind supposed to do? Mankind was created to serve and love God. Now, if a beaver says, I'm tired of cutting down trees, I'm tired of gnawing on trees, I'm tired of swimming in this water, I'm going to just start burrowing holes in the ground and making rooting up roots all over the place like an armadillo. That's what I want to do. And this armadillo says, I'm tired of just rooting all in the ground. I'm going to start building me a dam. I'm going to start gnawing on trees. With what? We take those things, folks, the truth of the matter is, those things that ought to be natural to humanity, because of sin and selfish desires, we get outside of the bounds and the parameters that God has ordained and established for us in order for us to try to find our happiness because we choose to get away from the happiness that God will give us when we follow His plan. We choose to follow after those things that I want to follow after. I don't want to discipline myself to follow the things of the Lord. So I get outside of that and I have to find my fulfillment and my happiness and my pleasures in other things in life. And it runs a course to where we are in society today, folks, and it's awful. It's awful. So he says to these women, adorn yourselves in modest apparel, a well-ordered, send-down garment, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. These things that the Word of God speaks to us about, it's speaking to us because they are fundamental things. It's speaking to us because there are things that we ought to want to apply ourselves to. We ought to want to. And I realize that it takes time. We're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to find fulfillment in the New Testament gospel dispensation by trying to find a letter of the law and a list of rules and disciplines and do's and don'ts. You're not going to ever be happy by living it that way. You'll have to find a place and a relationship with the Lord where you have Him inside of your heart and in your mind, and your heart and your mind is set to do the will of God, to please Him in all of your life. The do's and the don'ts, the list of rules and laws, those things become burdensome. It became burdensome in the Old Covenant day. And the Lord said, I'm going to write my law in their heart. On fleshy tables in their heart. I want it to be something inside of them to cause them to want to do those things that are right. One of the commentators makes this comment concerning the dressing, the apparel of the women. It says, they have seen the vanity of these things. They have fixed their heart on more substantial realities. I want to let you in on a little secret. I look back in photo albums, pictures of myself when I was in my teens. I don't look the same as I did then. People will try to defy time, age, with creams, potions, lotions, paints, all kinds of things. The clothes that they wear try to defy the things of nature. I have to stand before myself in the mirror and list. I have to face the reality. I'm getting older. I have gray hairs. I have bushy eyebrows. I didn't have bushy eyebrows when I was in my teens. I have bushy eyebrows now. When I go to the barber shop, you know what he starts doing? Cutting my hair. And he takes clippers to my eyebrows. That happens with age, folks. Young guys, it's coming. It's coming to you. Young ladies, there will be things come your way too. There will be things that you'll stand in front of the mirror and you'll look at and you'll say, oh my, why? And you'll be tempted. You'll be tempted to do everything that you can possibly do to defy the natural process of aging. I understand that to a degree. My heart and my mind tells me many times that I can do anything that I could do when I was in my 20s. But my body tells me differently. My mind and my heart tell me I can do all of those kinds of things. And in my mind and my heart, I can still remember what I did and how I did it and the procedures and the rhythms and all those kinds of things. But my body don't let me do it anymore. I do well to face the reality of those kinds of things. I do well to understand that there are limitations. I do well to understand that if I will allow myself to be in the plan of God, if I will allow myself to be in the place where I have recognized the vanity of those things, of physical beauty, the vanity of physical beauty, and realize that there are much more important things that my Lord wants to see in my life than just my physical form, You'll never hear me say, young ladies, do not make yourself attractive. You'll never hear me say, be as frumpy as you can possibly be. You'll never hear me say, don't comb your hair. You'll never hear me say, don't try to make yourself look presentable and neat when you go out into society. I believe we ought to do that because we are to glorify the one that made us. And He wants us to take care. I believe that with the same thing with men. He wants us to take care of ourselves, of our bodies. There are natural things that men and women are attracted to. Sometimes in youth, young men are attracted to physical beauty when they're looking for a companion. Young ladies are attracted to a man that has some handsome qualities about him. He looks nice. He's strong. He's got nice curly hair. He's got nice straight hair. Whatever it is they're looking for, they see those kinds of things. This guy looks like he'd be a good catch. Look what he's driving. Look what he's driving. Those kinds of things. Those things are vanity. They're vanity. They will change over the years of time. You marry a young man because of his looks. You marry a young man because his hair is beautiful and curly, or his hair is beautiful and straight. You marry a young lady because she's so physically attractive to you. And I got news for you. Those things change over time. That's vanity. It's emptiness. It doesn't mean they're not somewhat important, but they change. If all we're looking for is the things of physical beauty, external physical beauty, folks, we're going to find ourselves at some point in life disappointed. But the Apostle Paul said, concerning these things, that they not adorn themselves with outward adorning, gold, pearls, costly array, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, which is in the sight of God of great price. That's the thing. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, ladies, today, and men. I want to read some commentary from Albert Barnes. I found fascinating to me. Ladies, sisters that's been married for a while, don't answer my question. Think in your own mind. What are the qualities, if you were starting over, what are the qualities that you would look for in a man, in a companion? Sisters, what are the things you'd look for? Guys, if you were starting over, what are the qualities, what are the things you would look for in a companion for life? Would it just be physical beauty? I know there's physical attraction there. I realize that. But is that all you look for? There are things, folks, that as we go through life, we realize, as the Scripture says, there are things that are much more important than the things of vanity. They pass away over time. All right? Now listen to what he said. They have seen the vanity of these things, the gold, pearls, embroidered hair, costly array. They've seen the vanity of these things. They have fixed their heart on more substantial realities. Those things that make a person beautiful are not just the external things. Those things that make a person beautiful and modest are the things that they have allowed God to put down inside of their heart. Titus chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. All right, guys, listen here. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Ladies, are these things that you'd like to see in a male companion? Read this again. Sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. But they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Guys, are these things that you would really like to find in a female companion? Love their husbands. Love their children. Discreet. Chaste. Keepers at home. Good. Obedient to their husbands. Are these the things that make a person beautiful? Amen. Amen. These are the things that make a person beautiful. These are the things, I believe, that fall under the category of modesty. Well-ordered, well-arranged. It's what the Lord really wants from you and me. He wants us to be well-ordered and well-arranged. Not externally. Those things are going to fade away, folks. I don't mean to be rude or crude, but I've heard a saying, well, at least even in the Scripture, speaks about as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. So is a person that acts and conducts themselves in such a way. You can dress it up all kinds of ways. You can make it look ever so good on the outside. You can make that outside person look so fantastic. You can make them look beautiful and attractive. You can do all those kinds of things. But if it's filthy on the inside, it's hardly attractive. Guys, if you set your heart and your mind to go after beauty, 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 you'll find it. You can find it. There are beautiful women, beautiful girls in this world. There are those who set themselves out to make sure that they catch your attention. They do everything they can to catch your eye. They want you to look their way. They have in mind to catch you, to have you, to trap you, to get you. And then you find out, this is not quite what I thought it was going to be. Young ladies, there are guys who will put on all kinds of shows and fronts to get your attention. And they'll do everything they can possibly do to make you look their way because they want to attract your attention. But then you get married and he won't keep a job. And he wakes up tomorrow morning with a headache. Can't go to work. Next week, I sprained my ankle. I can't go to work. Next week, I got a sore toe. I can't go to work. It's hot. I can't work. It's cold. I can't work. It's wet. I can't work. It's dry. I can't work. It's not all those. He just doesn't want to work. Those are things that we learn over time. Those are things that show themselves up over time. I asked the question a moment ago to the sisters in the congregation, what type of a person would you be willing to have in your life? What do you want in your life? Do you want the man that gets up and says, man, it's cold outside. And he gets up and he puts on his clothes and he puts on his coat and he puts on his jacket. He puts on everything that he can to stay warm and he goes outside and faces the elements and does what he has to do. And when he comes home in the evening, he's tired, he's hungry, and there is a nice meal cooked, ready for him to eat. And his children come meet him at the door and they say, Daddy, Daddy. And his wife meets him at the door and says, I'm glad you're home. How was your day? Those are the kinds of things. Now, I know that in some of these things we're talking about idealistic situations. However, the Lord wants us to understand and recognize the vanity of external things. And what is so important is the internal things the Lord wants to have established in our hearts and our lives. Young men, Titus 2 and 6, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Men, the Scriptures apply here too. Society needs people who will do what they say they will do. Society needs men who will be men. Society needs women, ladies, who will be ladies. Society needs that. We need that. I want you to be that. The people in this congregation want you to be that. It's like in the world in which we live, though, folks, it's like trying to paddle your canoe hard upstream to be able to live these kinds of principles in the world in which we live, because it's set against it. Lord, help us. I pray for you, for me, every day. Now, I'd like to just, if you'll give me some moments here, Albert Barnes' commentary. This is on 1 Peter 3 and 4. Many a man cannot tell the difference between diamonds in cut glass or paste in the form of diamonds. Few are such connoisseurs in the matter of female ornaments as to appreciate at all the difference in the quality of, or color of silks, shawls, laces, which might appear so important to a female eye. The fact is that those personal ornaments which to females appear of so much value are much less regarded and prized by people than they often suppose. It is a rare thing that a man is so thoroughly skilled in the knowledge of the distinctions that pertain to fashions as to appreciate that on which the heart of a female can often so much prides itself. And it is no great credit to him if he can do this. His time usually, unless he is a draper or a jeweler, might have been much better employed than in making those acquisitions which are needful to qualify him to appreciate and admire the specialties of frivolous female apparel. Guys, myself included here, we ought to do everything that we can to help our wives understand that we love them, we appreciate them, and we find them beautiful, no matter what the situation is. We ought to be able to do that. Guys, the truth of the matter is, and I'm not any different. There will be times, this is confession on my part, there will be times my wife will wear something new and I didn't notice it. It was new. That doesn't make her feel very good. It doesn't make me feel very good when I realize that I didn't realize that she had on something new. It doesn't make me feel very good. I think, why couldn't I see that? Why didn't I realize that? Why didn't I recognize that? Those things are important to them. They are important. And we do well to realize that, I'm speaking for myself, I hope you're much better shape than I am on this regard. Speaking for myself, I would do much better to be able to be more attentive and attuned to those things that mean things to her, to help her know that I do notice and I do see it and it does matter to me in the confines of the Word. But a man has a real interest in what constitutes the ornaments of the heart. His happiness and his contact with his wife depends on these. He knows what is denoted by a kind temper. He may not always know that she has on a new pair of shoes. He may not always notice that she has on a new top. He may not always notice those kinds of things. But he does notice these things. He knows what is denoted by a kind temper, gentle words, a placid brow, modest and patient spirit, a heart that is calm in trouble, that is affectionate and pure, by freedom from irritability, fretfulness, impatience. He can fully appreciate the value of these things. No professional skill is necessary to qualify him to see their worth. No acquired tact and discrimination is requisite to enable him to estimate them according to their full value. A wife, therefore, if she would permanently please her husband, should seek the adorning of the soul rather than the body, the ornament of the heart rather than gold and jewels. The one can never be a substitute for the other. And whatever outward decorations she may have, unless she have a gentleness of spirit, a calmness of temper, a benevolence and purity of soul, and a cultivation of mind that her husband can love, she cannot calculate on his permanent affection. So there are things that men recognize in ladies. There are things they recognize that ought to be there, that are conducive to modesty, a well-ordered arrangement. There are things that women recognize in men that are desirable traits, and they ought to be there for men to be well-ordered and arranged. They ought to be there. They ought to be there whenever he says he wakes up in the morning and he doesn't really feel like it. He wakes up in the morning and it's raining hard outside and he knows he's going to be working in the rain today. It doesn't do well to just say, you know what, I'm not going to go to work because it's raining. It does better to get up and get on out there and go to work. And while he's at work and she's at home and it's dry in the house and he's outside where it's wet, it does her heart good to know that he cares enough about her and the needs of the home that he's willing to go ahead and put himself out for that. When his head hurts, when his feet hurt, when his knees hurt, when he's sick, when he's not feeling well, when he has a headache, he's willing to go ahead and go do those things. Those are the things. Young girls, there's no way for you to see and understand all of that right now. But those are the things that will show themselves at some point in life whether or not a man is capable and able to conduct himself under this framework. And they make a difference to a woman, just like the other things make a difference to a man. A man can recognize those certain qualities that come under the category of an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. A man can recognize those things, and a woman can recognize those things in a man who's actually trying to live his life according to the Word of God and be a principled man, disciplined man, a man who is not just modest in what he wears. But I'll say this to you. If he has these kinds of things in his heart, if she has these kinds of things in her heart, these other things will naturally fall into their place. They will naturally fall into their place because the first desire is, in all of this, if the first desire is to please my Lord, if the first desire is to cultivate in my heart and my mind the ornament of these things that God is looking on, that He wants to see, if the first thing in my mind is to try to do those things, discipline myself where I can face society, I can face the world, and I can do it with a heart that's not grumbling and griping, oh, it's a pouring down rain today, I guess I better hurry up and get my boots on and go out the door. It's cold. I hope you think of me all day long while I'm walking in the water. What's she going to think of that? Would you just please get out the door? Amen. She's not wanting to hear all of that. She's not wanting to hear all of that. What she wants is for him to be a man. And in our society today, folks, we have lost touch with men being men and women being women, and we've tried to cross and blur the lines, and we're paying a price for it. We're paying a high price for it. We're paying a price for it where these young men, they're going to leave school soon and they're going to face a society that has these things turned upside down, and they're going to have to learn how to be able to cope with those things where they see things and hear things and have things presented to them that would cause them to question whether or not what they've heard and been taught has value to it. It's the world we live in. Perverting truth. Perverting righteousness. I said to you when we first started, please don't sigh. We're not talking about sleeve length and dress length and all those kinds of things, but it comes under the category. If I'm married to a woman and all she wants to do is show herself off, how valuable is that to me? If I'm married to a man and all he wants to do is make sure that he's seen by another woman, what value is that to me? What value is there that's vanity? It's not secure for man or woman, husband or wife. The Lord said through the Apostle Paul that women adorn themselves in a well-ordered, send-down garment. I say to the men, I'm not going to tell you how long to wear your sleeves. They ought to be long. Sisters, I can't tell you how long to wear your skirts and dresses. They ought to be long. How long is long? Think about this. Who are we trying to please? Myself, the world, or God? Who am I trying to please? If I please the Lord, then I can please. If I have a companion, if I please the Lord, I can please my companion. Guys, ladies, Lord, help us to look to the Lord for the help, strength, courage we need. Let's look to Him to help us know how to appreciate the things that God has given to us. Let's look to Him to help us to know how to please our companions. Let's look to Him to know how, Lord, to change me. Change me. Put inside of me those things that will be conducive to my companion wanting to spend a life with me and wanting to really love me and trust me. Man, woman, husband, wife, you pray for me. God bless each one. Amen.